talk about that. And we should not be wasting our time. Have you ever just taken an inventory of your day?
Yeah.
Take an inventory. Find out what time you got up. You should know. Find out what you did when you got up. Find out what you did through the morning. Find out what you did through the afternoon. What you do during the evening. It would be good. It's not part of the lesson. Just something that I thought about. It probably would be good for us to actually keep a, what would you call it, a log or a journal, a time thing, and just see what you do with your time. And be honest with yourself. Don't cheat yourself. Don't, you know, try to make you some super Christian, but really honestly, just in your regular day, it would really be good for us to just jot down what we did during those time periods and just see where our time goes. Let's get into the lesson. I'm running late. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those that have come out this morning to church. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for those that are faithful here that come to every service, Lord. Many come to every one of our services, and Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, they are an encouragement. Everybody here is an encouragement to me, and I pray that you bless the lesson. I pray, Lord, for those that are not here this morning, that usually are, that you would be with them. Lord, some are sick, some have got some things going on in their life that they need to deal with, and so, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would help in that situation or in those situations. Lord, be with those that have not been here for a while, that you would just encourage them and convict them and show them, Lord, how they should be here. Lord, we again thank you and praise you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, thank you for giving us the time that we have every day of our lives. Lord, you invented time. Lord, we thank you for it. We pray that you'd help us to be better stewards of our time. Bless this lesson, Lord, as we go through it. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So stewarding life or stewarding our time is what we're going to be focusing on today, maybe into next week because Darren will be with us. But one of the greatest and most valuable gifts. Now remember, Jesus Christ is the greatest gift.
Yeah. Amen.
But the next great gift that God has given to us is our time. And that is a gift. Time is a gift.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that and look at that and focus on that today. We are each given the same limited time every day. We are given 24 hours a day, 1,440 minutes, and 86,400 seconds every single day. We all have the same amount. It's what we do with that time is what's important. What are you doing with your time? I want to show you this next slide here. Look at this. Hopefully you can see it okay. But this, somebody did the study. The typical lifespan of a 70-year-old individual, could be male, could be female. But sleep takes up about 23 years. That's a long time. Now, again, give or take. These are estimate values or estimate times. Some people sleep more, some people sleep less. But this is what this study showed. That's 32.9% of the time. Work, about 16 years of your 70 years of life. And that, again, is give or take. Some people working all the time, that's more. Some people don't work at all, that's less. So working a job is about that, 22.8%. Television, this is kind of alarming. But 8 years watching television. Now, in this day and age, we've got devices, we've got phones, we've got computers. And everybody seems to be on something.
Right.
You know, when we were in Puerto Rico, that's all you saw, is people on a phone, people on a device. We come back to America, guess what we see? People on phones, everywhere. Through the airport, that's all you see in somebody's hand is there's a phone in their hand. On the airplane, there's phones in the hands. Now, when you fly, you got to put it in airplane mode, but you can still do a lot on your phone. That's what you see everywhere you go nowadays, is there people are on their phones. They're little tiny computers in their hands, and it can do practically anything. But television, people spend a lot of time watching TV. Now, 8 years, that can be more, because some people turn the thing on first thing in the morning, they leave it on all day long. And they sit there for a while, watch, and they get up. But television, 8 years of your time is wasted on television, 11.4%. Eating. Y'all like to eat. I know you do. 6 years. Just eating. Nonstop. 6 years. 8.6%. Traveling, depending on, you know, what you're doing, but 6 years. Leisure, 4.5 years. Illness, 4 years, the study said. Dressing, just getting dressed every day. 2 years spent getting dressed. Look at the last one. This is what I wanted to bring up to your attention. Look at the last one. Religion. This is their study, not mine. They used the word religion, so I left the same thing there. Only a half a year. And yet 8 years are spent watching TV or on a computer or whatever it is that you do. Religion, going to church, reading our Bibles, praying. Now, I think that is a number that in this church, I would hope and pray that that's not this church.
Amen.
Many of you spend time reading your Bible every day. Many of you spend time praying every day. Many of you are in church every time the doors are open. And so I would think that, I would hope that Bible-believing churches like ours, that number is a misconstrued number. That number would be more up there. But again, this is not my study. I wouldn't know how to do all of that. This is something that this individual came up with. We need to be spending time in our Bibles. Yeah. We need to be reading our Bibles and studying every day of our life. Something I emphasized when I was down again in Puerto Rico. You've got to be reading your Bible every day. Brother Harmon has a plan down there. It's what they have, little slips of paper. I've not done that here. I might someday. But he has little slips of paper that he passes out. And they keep track of the chapters that they read through the week. And they pass them in.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't put their names on. You don't need to know the names. But then they add them up to see how many chapters people within the church have read. It's a good idea. It gives you responsibility. It gives you something that you're conscious about. You're thinking about spending time in the Bible. So that, to me, that was a blessing to see them down there. Matter of fact, he had me print them off on my laptop, and I had to print them off in the printer, and I had to cut them up and give them out to the people because he didn't have anybody else to do that. So, you know this guy? Benjamin Franklin said that statement. Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for it is the stuff life is made of. It's really true. Again, you have 1,440 minutes a day, or 86,400 seconds every day, or 24 hours a day. All right, first thing. Number one, the priority of time. It is a priority. If it wasn't a priority, God wouldn't have given us this time. And I've said this before, and you know it's true. You probably have said something like this yourself, maybe. Boy, I wish I had more time in the day. Did I ever say that?
Oh, yeah.
Be honest. Come on, I have. Anytime. Oh, I wish I had more time in the day. Oh, if we only had more hours in the day, we could get more done. No. That's a misnomer. That God gave us 24 hours a day. 1,440 minutes. 86,400 seconds. That's all God gave us. That's all we need. We don't need any more. We don't need any less. If we did, God would have given it to us.
Amen?
Amen. So all we need is the 24 hours. The problem that we have, and this is what this lesson focuses on, is we waste time. We throw time away. And that's what we need to look at. We need to look at the priority of time. So again, not without saying anything, but just think about how much time is wasted during the day. I would have to say probably that all of us waste some time every day. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
I think we do. I'll be the chief time waster here. I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. I waste time too. We all do.
Amen.
There's certain things that we do during the day that we just waste our time on. A lot of it, again, today is just people sitting at a computer and watching YouTube for hours and hours. That is a waste of time.
Yes, it is.
Complete waste of time. I hear kids in our school, I saw this on YouTube, and now we're on YouTube. I said, get off from YouTube. Get off your computer. You don't
Amen.
Need to be on that all the time.
Amen.
But so many people just think we waste our time. Next one, letter A. As Paul writes to the church of Ephesus there in verse 14, he says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So, we need to awake to salvation. That is the first thing. A saved person should be able to control their time and manage their time better. Because God gives us, the Holy Spirit gives us that insight that we need in order to manage our time. If you're a good time manager, you know how to manage your time. I took Dale Carnegie courses when I worked at Crucible. They forced me to do that. And we took time management, and we took other kinds of management, and we had our little day plans that they gave us, and we had to write down all kinds of stuff. What are we doing? Our priorities. We had to set our priorities from number one down to, you know, whatever. And we had to set our time for doing all of this stuff. And we learned that, and I learned that really with some of the best, but it doesn't make me, I'm still a waster of time. Reuben Ewart, years and years ago when he was here, he actually brought a series of messages on time management. They were very good. I think we still have the old cassette tapes in the bookstore. I saw them there one time. And brought a great message on our time management. And for Christians, we need to learn how to manage our time and stop wasting our time. But again, awake to salvation. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. Who would like to read that? I ask for a little help today. It's not that I'm out of practice. I was preaching down there. I did get a little spoiled. They only have one service on Sunday down there. 11 o'clock service.
Really?
All I had to do is get up about 5 minutes to 11.
Throw some clothes on it?
No. I don't do that. No, I was up early, reading and praying, and seeking what God would have me to preach. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Anybody want to read that? Robin, go ahead.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Amen. Amen. Verse 6 again, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Don't wait. Don't wait to be saved. If you're not saved, don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. That's the worst thing that a lost person can do. You and I, we know lost people that have been doing that practically all their life until they get saved. They've put it off. You may have put it off for quite a while. I put off salvation for 4 years. I started going to church when I was 13, and I didn't get saved until I was 17. What is wrong with you, Pastor Fenn? Well, I'm just like many others. Maybe some of you went for many, many years being told, being invited, being witnessed to, reading tracts or whatever. And yet, so often we just put things off, thinking that we've got what?
Time.
And we don't have time. We need to be concerned about that. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Who can read 60, verse 1? Brenda?
Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
All right. Amen. This next slide, again, this gentleman, Henry David Thoreau, he said this, as if you could kill time without injuring eternity. I like that statement. That's a neat, think about that. When you kill time, what are you doing to eternity? When we waste time without witnessing, when we waste time without praying, when we waste time without reading, it's affecting our eternity. So it's something to think about. Letter B, awake to God's priorities. Jesus, again, as I said a few minutes ago, Jesus is the greatest gift given. But I think the second great gift is time. Time. Again, I think it would be good to do an inventory of our time. I would challenge us to do that this week. Keep track of your time. Keep track. Write down what you do during your day, during your waking hours. If you're one of these late, you know, you go to bed late at night, you sit up all night watching YouTube, watching TV, watching movies on your device, turn the thing off and go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
They say that that's the worst thing for individuals is being on your devices before you go to bed at night. They say it affects you in all different, physically. It affects the way people sleep. I hear sometimes people saying, you know, they don't sleep well. They don't sleep. It's probably because you're sitting up watching TV or doing something like that that's affecting the way that you rest at night. Go to bed at night. Don't stay up all night doing whatever it is that you're doing. Get to bed. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Kathy used to say, healthy, wealthy, and boring. But she used to say that a long time ago. She doesn't say that anymore. Because I used to say that all the time to her. You know, she'd throw that back at me. But again, get to bed early at night. Get up in the morning early. Get in your Bible. Get into your prayer time. And spend time with God. Mm-hmm. Anytime you spend time with God, you're not wasting time. Right. Amen.
Amen? Amen?
You're not wasting time. You're spending it with God. But so often we waste it on all kinds of other crazy things. I like this next. Oh, no. Where'd it go? Oh, I didn't put it in there? I guess I did. Anyway, let me just. I thought I did. Where'd you go? It disappeared out in Never Land. Anyway, this Harvey McKay said this, time is free. Listen, time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it.
Yep.
You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. That is so true. All right, Roman numeral number 2, the preservation of time. Letter A is a cautious walk. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 5. Go back to that. Quickly, Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now the very next verse, verse 16, is redeeming the time. In my Bible, at the end of verse 15 is a comma. That means the sentence continues on. And so when it says, seeing that then he walks circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So let me just throw this out there at you based on verse 15. If you waste time, you're a what? A fool. You know what it says?
Yes.
All right, you're a fool. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. So if you waste time, we time wasters can be considered or classified as a fool. I know you don't like that. I don't like that, but it's reality. That's what Paul wrote. That's biblical. So again, we need to redeem the time. We need to be cautious. This again is a cautious walk. 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Who can read that for us? 1 Peter 5:8. Jeff, way in the back. Nice and loud, Jeff.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Amen.
He's not only seeking to devour you, I think he's seeking to devour our time. Amen. How often do you think the devil just somehow throws us something there to waste our time? How often when I'm trying to read my Bible, all of a sudden I get interrupted 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. Or when I'm praying, I get interrupted.
Yeah.
Or when you're praying, you get interrupted. It's like the devil is trying to cause us to waste our time. If he can't take our life, he can take our time.
That's good.
He can have us waste our time. And so it's a cautious walk. Letter B, it is a calculated walk. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Would you say that we're living in evil times?
Amen.
Well, Paul was living in evil times when he wrote this also. He wasn't just writing to 2022, the year 2022. He was writing to the Christians there at Ephesus because they were also living in very, very wicked times.
Amen.
You go back and study out some of the early churches and some of these churches that Paul wrote to. They were dealing with some real wickedness. Real, I mean, we're talking high sinful things. Ephesus was one of the 7 wonders of the world. Was right there in Ephesus, the tower or the statue of Diana, a very wicked statue. But people bowed down and worshipped that. Demetrius was a silversmith in Ephesus, and he was making little silver shrines for people. They would buy those things. That was his income. They'd take them home, put them up somewhere, and people would bow down and pray to Diana. And so this was a very wicked city. Paul had to deal with a lot of issues within Ephesus. But, thank God, the people, Christians in Ephesus, they got saved, and they started a church, and they were serving the Lord, and they were doing well. But again, throughout the history of human beings, going back 6,000 years ago, there's been wicked times.
Amen.
And evil times. Read Genesis chapter 6 as to what Noah was going through. You think we have a bad today? What about what Lot was going through? I mean, there's always been wickedness upon the earth. And there's wickedness today. Sometimes we think, I think erroneously, we think that we're in the worst time ever in human history. That's false. That's not true. We are not in the worst time ever in human history. We look at things and we think that we are, but we're not. It's been worse many, many times in the past with all kinds of things. We don't have time to get into it, but that's just kind of the way it is. And so we also need to realize it is a calculated walk. The word redeem, where it says there in verse 16, redeeming the time. When you redeem the time, the word redeem means by payment of a price to recover the power of another. I'll reread this again in case you wanted to write it down. To ransom or to buy back. That's what redeem means, or to buy off, buy back. It means by payment of a price to recover from the power of another. Jesus paid a ransom for our salvation. And that ransom was His blood, His life. He ransomed us. He redeemed us. That's what we talk about. He bought us out of the slave market of sin and gave us eternal life and gave us salvation. So redeem means by payment of a price to recover from the power of another, to ransom, to buy off. So we need to be cautious, but we need to also be calculating the amount of time that we have. Imagine if your bank calls you tomorrow morning and your bank asks you to assist in a brand new program that they're getting into. The plan is both lavish and it's simple. Very simple. Each morning, the bank will credit your bank account with $86,400. Every morning, $86,400 in your bank account every single morning when you wake up. Each morning, the bank will do that, which you'll be free to spend or invest as you please throughout the day. But every night, your account will close with a zero balance. Meaning that you've got to spend or invest the deposit every day, or it'll be wasted. If most of us had that opportunity, we would probably figure out a good way to manage and or invest that money that's given to us every day. Would you like to just waste $86,400?
No.
Absolutely not. If you were given that amount of money every day, you'd figure out what to do with it.
Amen.
You'd have all day long to figure out, all right, what am I going to do with this $86,400? We would figure out what to do with it. The truth is that you have been given a deposit every morning.
Amen.
With 86,400 seconds.
Amen.
Wow. And by the end of the day, your account with time is zeroed out.
That's good.
You have to decide how you're going to invest or spend the 86,400 seconds. And you've got to come up with a plan. You've got to come up with a way to do that. See, when money is involved, it's easy to do that. We say, whoa, give me the opportunity. Give me the chance. Man, it'd be a blessing to write a missionary every day a check for $86,400. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Boy, we're going to take care of some missionaries here and help them out. But when it comes to our time, we don't think that way. We take our time for granted. We take our minutes and our seconds and our hours for granted. But they're a gift from God every day. Lastly, hey, I might finish this up today. That's my goal. Is the purpose of time. Ephesians 5:17, again it says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so the purpose of time. Why has God given us time? Why has He given us 24 hours? Why has He given us 1,440 minutes? Why has He given us 86,400 seconds? Why has God given us this time? He has given us this time to be used for His honor and for His glory.
Amen.
Why did God create us? Little Silas came in this morning and he says, back there, he's very quiet. He says, Pastor, I have a question for you. I said, what? What is it? He says, why did God create us? I said, good question. I says, he created us for his glory and to honor him, according to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. And he said, yep, you're right. And he walked away. I don't know if he was looking for the answer or if he knew the answer and tested me. I don't know. But that is why has God created us? Why has God given us time? He gave us time not to waste it.
Amen.
He gave us time to use it, to spend it for his honor and for his glory. And yet, obviously, so often, again, how much time do you waste every single day? Letter A is seek the wisdom of God. Seek the wisdom of God. You know what you and I need to do every day? Ask God for wisdom.
Amen.
For what? Well, there's probably a multitude of things that you need to ask God for wisdom about in your day. You're making decisions. And one wrong decision can ruin your entire day. Matter of fact, one wrong decision can ruin the rest of your life.
Amen.
You need to ask God for wisdom. Lord, how do I answer these questions? What do I do here? God, how do I manage this? God, what do I do about this decision that I need to make in my family or on my job or whatever? We need to ask God for wisdom. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God says, you ask me for wisdom and I'll give you the wisdom that you need.
Amen.
Isn't that a good thing?
Yep.
God's a good God. And so we ought to be asking God's wisdom in the morning. God, how do you want me to spend the time that you gave me today?
That's good for you.
God, thank you for giving me the time that I have today. I've got the rest of today, unless you come back. But Lord, we need to plan as if the Lord is not coming back for quite a while. But we need to be planning as if the Lord is coming any minute. We need to be preparing our life in that way. I was talking to a preacher yesterday, and we were having a great time of fellowship over the phone, and he told me that, and I said, you know, that is so true. We all think the Lord's coming back immediately, because what's going on with Russia and Ukraine and around the world and China and all of, and you know what? It very well could be. Yeah. Things seem to be kind of almost moving in that direction. Remember, Israel is going to be invaded from the north. Israel is going to be invaded during the tribulation period by Russia and all of Russia's allies. Russia right now, the only ally that Russia has pretty much is China.
Yeah.
But China has the biggest army in the entire world. Let's not get into all that. But anyway, we do look at things going on in the world and we say, wow, the Lord could be very close to his coming. And he is much closer now than he was 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
So yes, he could come at any minute. But are you making plans in your life for the future? You should. This pastor was telling me, sharing with me yesterday, how he felt that it was important a long time ago to plan for financially for his future.
Amen.
To plan for a retirement. To plan, you know, pastors, sometimes we get retirements and sometimes we don't. But we should be planning things in the future. We should be saving money. We should be doing things that will help us in the end. We should have a plan.
Amen.
I have a plan. I have a plan in my brain as to when I hit a certain age, what I'd like to do if the Lord would have me to do that. I don't know what God has for me yet. But we should be making plans and be thinking about what we should be doing and asking for God's wisdom in all of these things. Seek the wisdom of God. Let's look these verses up real quick. Somebody find Proverbs 2, 2 through 6. Proverbs 2, 2 through 6. Mike? Wait a minute. Somebody find James 1, 5. James 1, 5. Wait a minute. TJ? Somebody find Proverbs 1, 5. Judd? Holly? Find Proverbs 6, 23. Okay? Go ahead. Let's start reading these quickly.
So that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and for her as for hid treasures. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and hide the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding.
Amen. Book of Proverbs. I read it every day. You should read it every day.
Amen.
Gives you that knowledge and the wisdom that we need.
Amen.
In our life. It's so vitally important that you spend time reading that proverb for the day. something I did this morning, something I try to do every day, is I read the proverb for the day. I read the Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and read the proverb for the day. It's very, very important that we're doing it, that the book of Proverbs was given to us for the wisdom that we need in our life. It helps us to make good, godly decisions. I think every answer to your life is found in the book of Proverbs.
Amen.
Everything you need is found in that one particular book. All right, next one, James 1:5.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
Amen. So again, seeking the wisdom of God, as we saw in Proverbs 2, James 1:5, Proverbs 1:5.
A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel.
Amen. Proverbs 6:23.
For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life.
All right, we don't have time to read the rest of them. But again, those four things, I think I put those in your notes, right? Four things, yeah. Seek it in God's Word. Ask God for it. Listen to the counsel of others. That's important. Listening to the counsel of others. If you have a hard time making a decision on something, it'd be better for you to ask somebody for some counsel on that than making a bad decision on your own.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
The Bible teaches us that the counsel is there for us. Again, the book of Proverbs covers that. And then through trial and error, apply it to our lives. Have you ever made a mistake in your life?
Amen.
We call them mistakes. A lot of it is sin. But we do things sometimes in our life. We should learn from those mistakes or the sins of the past. We should learn from those.
Amen.
Not repeat them over and over and over again. How often do we repeat some of the past things or sins or mistakes that we do? We're supposed to learn from them through that trial and error. Life is full of trial and error. Yes, it is.
Amen.
All right, last thing here, we're done. Seek the will of God. James chapter 4. I'll read this. We'll close with this. James 4, 13 through 15. Seek the will of God. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We need to be striving to do what the Lord's will is every single day of our life.
Amen.
And the Lord's will, when it comes to our time, ask God for wisdom in dealing with your time. Manage your time the way that God would have you to manage it. Father, thank you again for this lesson. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the ability to manage our time. Help us, Lord. I think every one of us in this room could use some help managing time. So, Lord, we pray that you would work and move in our lives and hearts and help us to do a better job of the time that you have given to us. Lord, we realize now that time is a gift. And we thank you, Lord, for it. Lord, bless the next service. Work mightily, Lord, in every heart and soul. Bring many into the house of God today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.